Good morning. My name is Jaime Hasso. I represent the petitioner, Mr. Calixco Jimenez, on this matter. This case involves the denial of asylum application as well as a withholding deportation matter based on an adverse credibility finding. The Board of Immigration Appeals affirmed the conclusions of the immigration judge with respect to the outcome of denying the asylum application, as well as the withholding deportation claim. However, it added on a little twist and put in a statement that even if credible, the petitioner still did not establish the eligibility requirements for asylum and the application for deferral. In this case, essentially, the immigration judge assessed her adverse credibility finding based on several factors, one of which was the decision that it was improbable, illogical, that the military officer would warn the petitioner of the pending coup that was to take place in Guatemala. Essentially, the immigration judge misinterpreted the facts of the case, as well as the government counsel at page 10 of their answering brief. They confused the names Medrano versus Mr. Cano. Mr. Medrano is the political activist who the petitioner indicated had beat him and threatened his life. The officer who requested the confidential information that the petitioner had in his possession was Mr. Cano, and that is the Army major. So in light of the confusion between Mr. Medrano and Mr. Cano, or Officer Cano, there was confusion as to exactly why then would a military officer warn the petitioner of the pending coup. Because of that inconsistency, in fact, was not an inconsistency, but an misinterpretation of the facts of the record, that portion itself does not support a adverse credibility finding. The next factor that the immigration judge considered in terms of the adverse credibility finding was in reference to the fact that two presidents have, in fact, succeeded President Serrano and have taken steps to provide peace and human rights back into Guatemala. With respect to that issue, there's absolutely no nexus between the steps that the two presidents have taken in order to restore human rights and peace back into Guatemala to the fear of persecution that the petitioner believes that will occur at the hands of the military as well as political activities. Country reports from 1997 as well as today also support the theory of a petitioner's position in terms of the persecution that would occur at the hands of the military. More specifically, the country reports indicate that former police commissioners, as well as the Army and National Police, still use torture in order to obtain confessions, and they do so with impunity. Because these factors are supported by the record in terms of the country reports provided by the government, the adverse credibility finding in this respect is unsupported by law. The third factor, which is that the immigration judge indicated that the president and his family and that of the bodyguards had not received any kind of threats in Panama, is also unsubstantiated by the facts of the record. It is.
What about the getting struck on the head with, beaten with a cane?
That was
omitted from his asylum application. The judge seemed to be impressed by the fact that that wasn't.
That was one of the factors also included in her adverse credibility finding in reference to that omission. In no part of the record before the immigration judge was there ever presented the questions and answers that were presented to the petitioner during the interview of the asylum. In fact, the immigration judge...
Well, the asylum application had a whole different story.
Correct. The petitioner indicated that...
Which he never corrected, apparently, at least until the eve of the...
Until the time of the hearing. Yeah. The actual application itself was prepared by notario, and that was testified by the petitioner during the hearing before the immigration judge. He informed the court that he, in fact, never read or reviewed the application, but it was submitted on his behalf by the notario.
What are we supposed to make of that when somebody signs an application saying this is my story and then shows up on the hearing date and says, no, that's not really my story. I have a completely different story, and this was actually filled out by somebody else. How is the BIA supposed to treat that?
As to the BIA, I'll get to them with respect to this court. This court has already determined that, and it has recognized the fact that notarios take place on an almost everyday basis in filling out applications on behalf of applicants and aliens, and that it is pretty much unscrupulous on behalf of the notario to essentially have the applicant sign certain documentations without properly reviewing it with the applicant himself. And generally, the applicant would provide the information to the notario to prepare the application form, and then the application is then submitted. The board.
So we just should take these applications seriously?
No. In fact, that specific point was given an opportunity to the petitioner before the immigration judge, where the immigration judge allowed the petitioner to make substantial changes to the application. Through counsel at the lower proceedings, that is when he changed the portions of the asylum application.
But not all of it.
No, that's correct.
And didn't add in the beating with a cane and whatever, isn't it?
No. What happened was essentially that when he added on the information as to his position of persecution and asylum, the immigration judge noted for the record that also the trial attorney indicated that the position of the petitioner with respect to the persecution was in fact in conformity with what she believed was testified to in the initial application for asylum. So in essence, there is no inconsistency between what he's testified and his position on the theory of persecution in Guatemala. The trial attorney indicated to the judge off record, but the immigration judge noted on the record that the trial attorney in fact agreed with the position and the changes that was made on the theory of the persecution for asylum. The immigration judge also noted on the record that there were certain markings on the asylum application which indicated a possible review of the application by the officer with the alien. That too, she questioned there was no certainty as to what exactly those markings meant. In fact, she made in her oral decision that she, in fact, it could have been several possibilities as to what the markings, in fact, meant on the actual asylum application. Again, there was no submission of the questions and answers of the asylum application that were taking place between the alien and the officer. They were never presented to the court. They were never presented to the alien. Based on the fact that the individual had the asylum application prepared by a notario, and basically we're under the assumption of unknown questions that were posed between the asylum officer and the alien, the petitioner, it's not unreasonable to conceive his explanation that he didn't essentially know what he had to say at the asylum interview. It was not until he was given his opportunity before the immigration judge that he made substantial changes to his asylum application to accurately reflect both what he said before the asylum officer and what he was going to present to the immigration judge.
Why don't you, because you're running out of time, why don't you quickly address the assuming credibility, the evidence of persecution, past or future?
The board indicated that assuming credibility is established, and you still fail to establish the essence of the asylum application and withholding. The bottom line of the board's decision is that they note two things. One, in reference to the inconsistencies noted by the immigration judge, and then two, by the general testimony provided by the petitioner. With respect to the inconsistencies of the immigration judge, well, that's essentially her decision regarding the adverse credibility finding. As I've addressed each one, and indicated there, in fact, is no inconsistencies which would substantiate an adverse credibility finding, then that also lends to the position that there is no inconsistencies that would support the position of the board with respect to their position on the denial of asylum and withholding. However, with respect to the general testimony that was provided by the petitioner that is alleged by the Board of Immigration Appeals, the testimony was in fact very specific as to the nature and the means of the persecution. The specific people that he believed would be his persecutors were that of the military officials and political parties, based on the confidential information that he had.
But what was the evidence that they'd actually done anything?
The evidence was in terms of the political party actually beating him, a political party member actually beating him. He was relying upon a theory of past persecution with that respect. In reference to the well-founded fear of future persecution, where there's, of course, the presumption that a well-founded fear of future persecution is presumed if there's a past persecution. However, with respect to the military persecutors, it was based on, again, confidential information that he obtained during the course of his employment with the presidential office, that being information relating to the misappropriations of $14 million by the government. I see my time is up.
Yeah. Okay, I think we have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Lynn Harris, and I represent the Attorney General in this matter. Your Honors, what we have in front of us now is the case of Mr. Jimenez, who filed an application for political asylum in 1996, asserting, in essence, that he was in mortal danger if he ever returned to his native Guatemala, because he had at one time worked for the sister of a
He's
former
the bodyguard of Brent.
Right. However, you know, looking, the immigration judge rightly concluded that there were so many problems with Mr. Jimenez's consistency, not only between his asylum application and his hearing testimony, which were fairly significantly different, but also in regard to his inability to cohesively indicate exactly what he feared, why he feared it, and from whom he feared it. She noted with particularity that he provided no evidence to support any of the claims that he was making, and that the evidence in the country report, specifically with regard to his claims that, although they were intermingled, and he did intermittently claim both fearing the army and fearing political parties, what he mentioned most often in his testimony was political parties, that current individuals in power in Guatemala today, which would have been at the time of his hearing in January of 1999, wanted to harm him. And he interspersed in there references to various political parties and vaguely asserted members of maybe one, maybe the other political party had positions of power, and that they would want to harm him because of his work for this former administration, discredited administration. But it was not, there's no evidence.
Well, he did ultimately come up with the knowledge of the $14 million theft or whatever.
He did very nonspecifically claim that he was aware because of his presence in the presidential
house. He had knowledge of secrets, and that was the one that he came up with under question.
Right. But I would...
Assume that that, in fact, is true. Let's assume that that's what... He had the position, he had access to these secrets because of his position, and he knew of a $14 million act of corruption on people who are currently still active in the government of Guatemala.
Well, Your Honor, I would submit firstly that it is, of course...
Who would not want that kind of bad information brought out in public. It would damage their current status.
Your Honor, well, I would indicate first that he's indicating that he's aware that the administration that he worked for misappropriated.
No, yeah, well, are those people all gone from Guatemala?
That's a good point, Your Honor, and it was up to the respondent or for the petitioner to provide evidence to support his claim. The burden of proof rests on him. And I would say that the country report certainly does not, that was in the record at the time of his hearing, merits hearing, certainly does not support the contention that political parties in Guatemala are actively involved in mercenary repercussions against one another.
Wait a minute. Comes up with a corrupt act. Let's assume that the person who committed it is now involved in a trusted position. That person would go to great lengths not to have his prior corrupt act exposed by this whistleblower. If that were all neatly wrapped up on the record, would that not be a legitimate cause for concern of retribution if he went back to Guatemala?
Well, I suppose, Your Honor,
it wouldn't be cured by the change of administration. It would really be more a retribution based on his knowledge of this calamitous secret.
Well, Your Honor, I suppose if all of those things were true, but I think that's really stretching credibility in this case, especially when we've had now, you know, five peaceful transitions from one administration to another, all representing changes from one political, you know, one majority political
party. Look, we know from our own government that the fact that people are in government doesn't ensure that they don't have skeletons in their closet. That's what I'm trying to get you to focus on. I'm accepting that there's been a peaceful transition, but there's somebody in there out there in that current political structure who has this horrible skeleton in his closet, and this is the guy who, if he comes back to Guatemala, is going to blow the whistle on him. Or he fears that. So if this guy crosses into Guatemala, he's going to, you know, have his henchmen knock him off.
Well, Your
Honor, I know, I'm not trying to write a screenplay. But I'm just trying to test your position, the government's position, as to what you think the relevance of the change of administrations are, if you accept the hypothesis that what he's fearful of is being actions taken against him because of his prior activity, is privy to the family secrets, and somebody who's got, this is a major skeleton. I mean, $14 million is, you know, hunk of change in Guatemala, even here, maybe.
Yeah, well, I would say, Your Honor, if in fact Mr. Jimenez had proven that, had named a name, at any point named a name, that this is a person who I know would try to harm me or would send his henchmen out to get me, and he's a member of this political party, that never happened. First of all, his allegations were all vague and very nonspecific. It could be this, it could be that, it could be this party, the other party. And never once did he say, you know, I saw this person, and this person
well,
sign off.
Well, he said he heard about it. He heard about it.
He said he heard about things that were occurring in the presidential palace. However, I would say for him to be able to, for this to be credible enough for an immigration judge and to grant asylum on the basis of, I don't even know what ground you would list that. But, you know, he would have to be able to say, this person stole $14 million.
He might not know. He may know that it was done. And the person who's...
Well, if he can't identify the person...
Well, but the person can identify him.
Well,
the person is worried about people who are part of the family household who are now out of the country and gone. Well, this guy suddenly shows up in Guatemala. Now this person's worried about it.
Again, I think it would, the burden is on the would have been on the petitioner to show that anybody that served in that former administration or its household is at risk or has been at risk in Guatemala today, and certainly there's no evidence of that.
Okay.
And I would say, Your Honor, that you know, the record as it stands simply does not compel a conclusion that Mr. Jimenez has a real objective fear of persecution were he to go to Guatemala today. The country, his primary claim that members of political parties are in positions of power now, in his words, in 1999, now 6 years ago, and would want to harm him and would remember him, simply doesn't stand, you know, any rational, doesn't survive any rational test. The country report at that time, even in 1997, the country report said there is no evidence that anybody that has a legitimate fear of political oppression in Guatemala, because there's no record, there's no indication that political parties actively oppress or repress one another. No one can dispute that there's crime in Guatemala and that there might be a significant issue of crime in Guatemala that anybody might fear, but it's not related specifically to this gentleman. He's not shown that he has. He's made vague and nonspecific allegations that he knew things, that he learned things while he was a bodyguard in the presidential house. He submitted an asylum application that was vastly different from anything that he testified to. And he's been unable, with these shifting theories, to provide any concrete evidence to support anything that he said, despite his representations to the immigration judge at his initial calendar hearing in November of 1996 that he would supply documentary evidence. He would present witnesses to support his claim. And then when he got even a year and a half more time to prepare his claim than he initially thought he would, since his initial merits hearing was canceled on the day of the hearing because his counsel was unavailable, still he walked into court with no evidence, and he, you know, on the day of that hearing, disavowed the vast majority of the claims in his asylum application. It was utterly reasonable for the immigration judge to find that he had not met his burden of proof, that she could not find him credible on the record before her. And the board was correct in also both affirming the immigration judge and finding that this record simply does not compel a conclusion contrary to that reached by the immigration judge.
Thank you. I'll give you a minute for rebuttal. Don't squander it.
In reference to just a couple points that she made, one in reference to the persecutors and the identification of them. Well, the government did that on his behalf and submitted those documents, and that was in reference to the actual country reports. The country reports actually substantiate the claim that it is the military, the army, the national police force, that through interrogations they do commit torture on a routine basis to obtain confessions. So in reference to that, that point being addressed.
That's okay. I think we have your position.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank both counsel. And the case just argued is submitted.
Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll call the next case. Before we do that, the next case on the docket, in any event, on the calendar is Lee versus Gonzalez. That case has been submitted. So we will proceed to Heh versus Gonzalez.